So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Okay?
Well, listen here.
Hello, and welcome to Love After Lockup. Haha, okay. I'm Miss H, and today, Mr. O and I will be talking about Season 1, Episode 11 of Life After Lockup, where Tony and Tommy go to the strip club, Sarah rolls up on Michael and Maria and causes a scene, Lacey is tired of Shane's pit stain and tries to kick him out, Marcelino and Brittany hash things out, and Clint hits himself repeatedly while trying to act like the reasonable one with Tracy. All that in Students of the Week, Class Dunces, and Life Lessons. Next week, we will be covering the season finale of Life After Lockup, and after that, this channel will be covering Love is Blind, available on Netflix. If you watch 90 Day Fiancé, check out our other podcast channel, 90 Day MK, Teachable Moments with Miss H and Mr. O. Thanks, and enjoy.
Hello, Miss H.
Hello, Mr. O. How are you during these interesting times?
I'm starting to grow a pandemic beard. That's going to be my goal.
Oh, gosh. Is that what that is?
Yeah, that's what that is. That's what that is.
I can't have an equivalent.
Let's hope not.
Yeah, you can take a look at my inbox. It's ever growing.
Right, but you're going to keep shaving your legs and stuff, so that's probably for the best.
Actually, weird random fact about me, I don't actually have to shave my legs.
Okay.
All right. So, Love After Lockup. That's what's going on in our lives currently at the moment.
I know. We're watching lots of terrible reality TV to get ourselves through. So, Love After Lockup.
I know, right?
What are we talking about this time?
Yeah. Well, we did that poll on Instagram about, you know, what should we cover next? And this is before basically all of our schools were shut down. And so we have a little bit more time on our hands, although I would argue that maybe I will have less time on my hands in the coming weeks, because to actually prepare for an online class takes 3 times as much time as actually going in and teaching.
It absolutely does. It absolutely does.
Yeah, so I have a feeling that, because we're almost on spring break right now, so for now it'll be okay, but, you know, I think even during spring break I'm going to have to do a lot of prepping for my online class, so it's going to be kind of crazy. But for now, we have more time on our hands, so we kind of made the decision that we will kind of tentatively plan on actually covering both. So we'll be covering season 4 of 90 Day Fiancé, the original, on our 90 Day Fiancé podcast channel, I guess, if you want to call it that.
Sure.
And then on this one, our Love After Lockup, we will start to cover Love is Blind, likely after this week, since we still have one more episode after today's episode, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's my understanding. That's my understanding. So, all right. So let's jump right in.
All right.
Do you want to just briefly mention Andrea and Lamar were only in like one of those weird yes. commercial scenes?
Yeah, it was really odd.
Yeah,
I had them at the top too. It's so interesting to me, like this whole, it was like kind of a weird recap. But my takeaway was that she wants to inspire other women to know that they can also be physically intimate with their prison man if they just know how.
Yeah, if you just want it hard enough, you can illegally have sex in prison, and that should be an inspiration for people for some reason. That seems to be the thrust of what they said.
Yep, pretty much. And then Lamar says, she's nasty. And then she's like, oops, now you know. And it's like
no, we already knew that. You've been trying to cover it up.
We've been saying this. She's a freak. And there's nothing wrong with that. But what I do think is kind of weird is that she's definitely trying to suppress that, since she's trying to portray this devout Mormon image. Because she wasn't even married.
Nope.
All right, so who do you want to talk about?
All right, so let's get to the meatier ones. Let's start with Brittany and Marcelino.
Okay.
Okay, so there was some stuff that came up, and I assume, remember, this is the first I've been watching the show.
Right.
That a lot of his flashback stuff from Brittany was stuff we had seen in previous seasons. Is that correct?
Yes. So Brittany had an ex from the inside called Amanda, and they had a relationship. And when Brittany first got out of jail, she was having this weird relationship with Amanda because Amanda claims that they had never broken up in jail. So Brittany was with Marcelino, and so Amanda kept on trying to get her back. And so there was at one point where the three of them had gone out, and it was really odd. Marcelino, I don't know, was just kind of there, and Brittany was like, I'd like to have both of you in my life. And then she pretty much like kisses Amanda in front of Marcelino and implied that they could have a threesome, but Marcelino wasn't into that. I don't know. It was really odd. But Marcelino, I'm sure it was that he wanted Brittany to himself, but his whole thing was, you know, you need to quit hanging out with convicts. You're not allowed to do that. And so he kind of like in his own way was like, okay, you need to stop hanging out with your convict friends.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. Feel like it would be one of those like threesomes where I think he kind of saw the writing on the wall. He wasn't going to get to be involved. Like, he'd be there.
No, yeah,
but he
yeah.
wouldn't get to, like, do anything. Like, that right. doesn't count, does it?
Like, right. It, kind of like on Friends.
Exactly like on Friends.
Where Ross is just like, yeah, they're having a threesome. But I was just kind of, I don't know, there. Observing. I wasn't exactly. really involved.
Right.
The little one kept kicking me out. Yep. So anyway, so that's the background on them. So then Brittany and Amanda end up hanging out inside the prison, just kind of watching the inmates have their outside time.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of keeping an eye for Sasha.
Yeah. So I kind of gathered it was a two-part, like, you know, sort of two purposes for Brittany. One was to kind of keep an eye out for Sasha, who apparently yes. was her BFF from prison.
Oh, that was her actual, like, cellmate.
Okay.
So her and Amanda were exes, but then her and Sasha were actually cellmates. And then it was actually really, really sad, but Sasha was actually out the same time that Brittany was out. And then she was, I think, out on bail, so they were kind of waiting for her court date to come up. And it ends up that she got sentenced to, like, 10 years. Because she was definitely involved as an accessory to, I'm pretty sure, a murder.
Oh,
so yikes. Yeah, it was not a good situation for her.
Yeah, but anyway, it seems like the other thing is she kind of goes to the prison to like look at the prison and just like remind herself like how far she's come. Like, this is where I yeah. am now. This is where I don't want to go. So it's mm-hmm. like that's like last week we had Andrea took Lamar to that like mountain pass to be like, this is where I do my best thinking. And Brittany feels like mm-hmm. she does her best thinking reflecting over the prison.
I kind of feel like that is maybe the underlying cause of my addiction to reality shows. Okay. You know, it's like you kind of see what other people are doing in their lives and you're kind of like, yeah, my life is not so bad, even though, you know, there are twists and turns and challenges, especially in this last week. You like watch shows like this and you're like, yeah, even with all this craziness, like life isn't so bad.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So I didn't know this part, and this actually makes a lot of sense why Brittany is especially sensitive about their situation at the moment. So Brittany is telling Amanda that her dad had a gambling problem and that mm-hmm. he would lose the rent money, and right after he would get paid on a Friday, lose the money by Sunday, and there was like a history of that happening. And so they actually had to move back to Alaska, and that's part of the reason why they were living in poverty, you know, because he had a gambling problem.
Right.
So she's definitely sensitive to Marcelino losing money and lying to her about it.
Yeah, because, I mean, we know that they got evicted and moved around a lot when she was a kid, and the yeah. gambling problem probably was, yeah, part of that.
Right, so... Yep, definitely took her to a dark place. So she's overly emotional, and it's like I keep forgetting she's pregnant.
Right.
It's like that is definitely playing into it, but it's like you forget.
Yeah, she doesn't look obviously
no,
pregnant.
No, she doesn't.
The way she's carrying the baby doesn't like look like, oh yes, pregnant woman. So I keep forgetting about that.
Right. It's like I think she's going to have the baby by the season finale, which is next week, because mm-hmm. then you're like, because that's really all they have left, I guess, you know. For thinking big milestones, but I don't know. She doesn't look big enough to be ready to have a kid unless they do a fast forward.
Well, it could be like didn't Tiffany from 90 Day Fiancé, like, have a baby and she didn't know she was pregnant? Oh, it can happen. You don't have to look that pregnant, depending on your body type.
Because they kind of have, they kind of have similar-ish body types.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Although Brittany did look a lot smaller before her first child. Well, I shouldn't say her first child, but the last child that she just had. Her arms were a lot skinnier.
She looks a lot thinner in her, like, card at the beginning, too.
And
some of the flashbacks. But I know, I've known a lot of people who just, when they get pregnant, they get bigger all over, not just, like,
in their belly.
So that's not surprising.
So she's triggered, you know, and she doesn't want to go back to living on the streets. And so then Amanda suggests she checks her bank accounts. And that's actually an interesting thought that she hasn't done it yet.
Yes, I thought so too. I was like, wait, you haven't checked your bank accounts yet? But it seemed to me, at least what I took away from what she said, was that she hadn't checked the bank accounts because she was one of those things, I'm afraid of what I might find, and I'm afraid of how I might react to that. Like, I'm already mad about one thing. I can't be mad about more things because it's something she really seems to be focused on. She's at the prison. She doesn't want to go back to the prison. And she's like, if I let my anger take control, that's where I'm going to end back up. Like, I know this.
I kind of wonder, you know, does she not pay any bills at all? Does he pay all the bills? And that's why she never checks the bank account, like, before this even came up.
True.
Like, it doesn't even seem like she had a clue that any of this was happening at all. So.
Right. It depends on how fast he's lost the money, I guess. Yeah. And whether she not, she pays. Usually most couples have one person that just pays all the bills. And the other person just trusts them. Like,
to pay the bill, sure.
To not just pay the bill. Yeah, to pay the bills and to have the bank account where it's supposed to be and, you know, things like that.
Right. So Brittany goes back and she, you know, says she lost her temper. I know, I just about said that. She lost her temper. And, you know, she doesn't feel tied down. And so she'll dip out quick if, you know, she feels disrespected or lied to again. I thought it was interesting that she said she lost her temper because they did a flashback, you know, of her beer pouring.
Uh-huh.
And I think the only thing that was, like, to me a little, like, in the rage side was when she really slapped him. But everything else, man, everything else seemed pretty calm to me. Like, she isn't one of those people that just yells.
Yes.
Like, even her version of yelling just didn't seem.
Yeah, it was definitely not the kind of fight we see from the other. There was a lot of fighting this episode, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. Not some of the fighting we saw from the other couples who either were way nastier or way louder.
Neither of those things. Like, I'm thinking specifically Andrea and Lamar. You know, when Andrea slaps him, flailing about like a crazy lady.
Right.
And like yelling at him. It's like Brittany slapped him once, you know, and was kind of over it. And, you know, definitely try to communicate her point across.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, she wasn't like crazy and unreasonable.
Right.
Like, even at the time, Marcelino was able to have a conversation with.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Again, unlike the other couples from this episode.
Right.
But so I couldn't get, like, what was Marcelino doing? He was just, like, had his hood up and was just, like, staring at a fire.
Right.
With a beer. Like, I don't know what that was.
Yeah.
Like, I am a sad man. I'm taking my sad man booze.
Yeah.
Could you stare at this fire?
Well, this kind of annoys me. So he thinks that her anger was unnecessary. And the way he was talking about it, he was like, oh, what you did was way worse than what I did. You know, like, you owe me an apology was kind of like the demeanor he had. I mean, he didn't exactly say that, but, you know, it really felt like the conversation was focused on what she did wrong, her reactions. It's like, okay, but let's, like, go back to what the issue truly is. The issue isn't that she got mad, it's the fact that you were lying to her.
Right. But his, like, I don't know, he was like, but I'm lying to help, so that shouldn't count. I was trying to help. I just sucked at it. I just sucked at it. Because it's not my good, my favorite line, because he was like, he was basically like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And she was like, do you think anybody knows what they're doing?
I know. Like, it made them so much more relatable to me, the fact that they both are saying that. Because out of all the couples, you definitely get the idea that they are doing better than most of them. They either have a more solid appearing relationship. They seem to have family things going on. They have two kids, dogs, have a home for their family. You know, it seems like they're doing pretty well compared to
a clean home at that.
Yes. Right. So it definitely makes them more relatable. Like, we all have problems. We all don't know what we're doing. So Brittany, I just really like her. She says, I don't care about things. Money comes and goes. She cares about lying because lying is failing her. You know, she just wants him to be a good dad and a good husband.
Yeah. I mean, the word that didn't come up that was pretty obvious to me. It was he lied because he's embarrassed.
Yeah.
Like, he's just embarrassed that he's not doing well. He thinks he's better than that and doesn't want to, have to actually confront that he might suck at poker.
Mm-hmm.
Which is hard. That's really hard to take something that you've chosen as your, life's work and be like, you know what, though? I kind of suck at it.
Has it been his life's work? Because I would say this. When they first were filming this, so on their first season, he was not a poker player back then. His card, I want to say, was he was a writer of some kind. And I don't know if that's super lucrative anyway, enough to be able to support a family. But I mean, I feel like there could be other jobs or something that could have a little bit more stability. Because I think that's the trouble with something like poker player. Unless you're being sponsored by someone else and not putting up your own money, it's like the stability just isn't there.
No. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
All right. Oh. Who do you want to talk about next?
Let's just go with fights. Let's just go straight through all the fights. When we get through it. So the next fight is Tracy and Clint.
Oh gosh.
Whew, this was a wild roller coaster of a fight. I don't even know what was going on here. So these are the two people that I think I understand the least.
In terms of why they're still together?
In terms of how each of them tick and how each of them is going to respond to any given situation or any given saying. It was, I'm just like, I don't, it's everything they, every behavior they did seems so random to me.
I can see that, but I think what is definitely in play with their situation, unlike a lot of the other couples, is the drug use. I mean, they're both drug users, and so if you have that kind of situation, they're going to be unpredictable, and they're going to say one thing one day and another the next when they're high or not high, So it is. They are going to do and say uncharacteristic things. So Tracy's been gone for 2 days, and where we had left off is that Clint can't get into the house. But when we kind of see, Clint not being able to get in the house this episode, you really see it's just Clint being an idiot. I mean, Tracy is not barricading the doors. After he walks around the house a couple times, she finally answers one of the doors. She wasn't no, you can't come in from the other side. It's just all right, Clint. I mean, bring your keys next time. She should lock up.
Right. Because she's doing laundry, of all things. That's the whole time during this fight. She's just folding laundry.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So Tracy says that she's a psychotic bitch and she's been on drugs.
But she says that sarcastically. This is what I didn't get about Tracy. Mm-hmm. She disappeared for 2 days.
Yes, she does.
She stole his car.
Yeah, per usual.
Only contacted him to get drugs.
Yes.
And then comes back and is all sarcastically, oh, I guess you just say, all I care about is the drugs, huh? Huh? How predictable of you. I can't believe you actually think that. And it's like, why would he not think that all you care about is the drugs? Because all you care about is the drugs.
Right.
That defensive way of sarcastically being I guess I'm just a crazy bitch, huh? No, but crazy bitch is not a word I would say. But the way she sarcastically is so your mom's just going to say I only care about the drugs. And it was like, the only reason you came back was to get drugs. Why?
Yeah.
So I just felt there's a lot I feel like there is a lot that happens off camera.
Sure.
A lot of, specifically a lot of things that Clint says to Tracy off camera that she's reacting to and responding to. That we don't necessarily see. I get the impression that he's on his best behavior when the cameras are rolling.
Oh, I absolutely agree that he is on his best behavior when the cameras are rolling, because it's like, you know that Clint is also into drug use and he's also doing the same thing that Tracy is doing. And the things he says on camera, like in his confessionals, it's kind of like, yeah, I don't know. That seems a little too rehearsed or a little too thought mm-hmm. out to make you look good. Definitely.
Right. And so he slipped it. I feel like there was a couple of times he like slipped up in front of the cameras this time. It like kind of showed more what Tracy has been seeing from him yeah. that she's responding to. One is when he started punching himself in the face.
Oh, yeah. I was like, okay. But, you know, I'm not surprised. That doesn't surprise me at all. I don't know why. But there's something a little bit off, kind of like almost special ed about Clint, you know, uh-huh. where you're like,
I mean, that one was scary because that one gave me the impression where he was like, I really want to hit her, but I know I can't.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to hit myself in the face.
I don't know. I feel like it's weird coping techniques
mm-hmm.
like that to me. And I guess when I think special ed, I kind of think, you know, I've had a couple students that can't cope in class.
Oh, yeah. Like emotional disabilities.
Yes, emotional yeah. disorders. Yes. And so they yeah. hit themselves or do something like self-destructive. You know, and that definitely occurred to me. Like when he was doing that, I was like, ah. I had a student mm-hmm. one time who would hit himself in the head with his textbook, and it was a math class. So it was a really big textbook.
Big old thick textbook, right?
Yeah, this is not the, you know, it'd be different if it was like an English class and you were like hitting yourself in the head with a paperback novel. But that is definitely was not the case in this student's situation. So. Yeah, it definitely seems like he has other issues. But, you know, he says that, you know, he threatens, I'm going to leave you. I want to stay loyal to you, but, you know, I need a wife who prioritizes me. And then Tracy says, well, then get a new wife. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. It came up that she says, you know, like she saw him looking at her like a drug addict. And I think it mm-hmm. made her feel really bad about herself. And so I think at that point, she definitely had this idea like, you know what? We're just better off without each other. And so I feel like that's yeah. why she was talking that way.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely seemed that's where I was really confused about this is the weird turns this took.
Yeah, definitely.
She was. And then for some reason, Clint called his mom, and I can't figure out why he did that.
No, I don't know either.
So the mom could hear it, and then Tracy was like, oh, she was, you know, mama's boy, and your mom just thinks I'm a drug addict. Like, she gets very defensive when anybody mentions the drugs.
Right. And Clint is not helping the situation because you can tell he knows exactly how to push her buttons. And then mm-hmm. he does. He starts calling her an addict. And that she needs to uh-huh. go to rehab. And it's like, this is what she's sensitive about. You know, she doesn't want you looking at her like she's a drug addict. And what are you doing? But it's almost like taunting. Like, you're an addict. You need to go to rehab. Like, the way he was saying it while he was trying to call his mom on the phone. And it's just mm-hmm. like, wow. He was just making the situation worse. Because why would you say that to her at this particular right. point in time?
Yeah, this is the other thing. It comes up again in... like, you're just not listening to what she's saying.
Right.
And so, but you're just like, whoa, this is what I want. I'm coming in. Big guy. Addict. You're such an addict. Yeah. And especially because that's the way, yeah, you're right. She kind of comes, her biggest issue is like, you see me as a drug user first and your wife second.
Right.
And that's, it's not as something of how are we going to work together to do anything. It's, this is the thing that you need to do, mm-hmm. which isn't wrong. I mean, it's one of those things, at some point she, you know, says she resents it because it feels like an ultimatum. Mm-hmm. And of course, she says it like the word is old tomato. I start every time they say it. I think somebody's saying old tomato. But it kind of is an ultimatum. And yeah. it's like it's hard with addicts and things like that because at some point you do have to make ultimatums and you do have to cut people off. And
yeah, definitely. So then the dog Blazer is like, poor guy. So Tracy had taken the dog Blazer when she had disappeared for 2 days. And so Clint, you know, says, Blazer gets to stay with me. You can't take the dog.
My dog.
Yes, my dog. Right. And then Tracy, they talk about it like it's a child, which then brings up something very odd because, yeah, we get a bomb dropped on us that we had not no idea before. But then apparently they had a sonogram of their child. And Tracy's like, where's the picture? And Clint says, I don't know where it is. And, but then he changes it and says, I don't think I threw it away. And it's like, that definitely means he threw it away. Like, you don't think you threw it away? It's like she didn't even ask you, did you throw it away? She asked, where is it?
And you jumped to throw it away.
Yeah.
And then, Kenshi says, oh, I can't believe you threw away our child. And then Clint says, you're actually the one that threw him away.
Yes.
Referring to the abortion that she got. Holy shit.
And that's what I'm saying. Clint is pushing her buttons.
I was like, Tracy's annoying me until he said that.
Yeah.
And then, oh, no.
Yeah, that's messed up. Why would you say that?
Messed up.
So messed
up. I cannot imagine a more hurtful thing to throw at somebody.
No.
Holy crap.
He was all about pushing her buttons and hurting her. Like, that was like, it seemed like his goal in this whole confrontation. So they kind of, and it was kind of interesting, the editing, because it definitely looked like the interview where Tracy's talking about this was a very clearly different point in time. She just looked very different.
She had completely different makeup on. She had a completely different outfit on. Yeah.
Yeah. But Tracy talks about the abortion. She just said that, you know, that her and Clint just weren't in a place where they felt like they could afford it. And so, you know, it was a really tough decision for her. But, you know, she got an abortion. They blamed each other for it. And then Tracy admitted that that basically sparked her meth bender. You know, like that really instigated like some really just bad feelings in her. And she was trying to medicate herself. And so she went on a meth bender. And it, I mean, it makes sense. You know, it's like something that traumatic. And then if you have Clint like in your ear, you know, saying the messed up things that he's saying, you know, why she would turn to drugs. It makes sense.
Yeah. So and this is the part where I did this is the part where I was referring to at the beginning when I didn't understand how people responded to things. Because my response to that would have been like, out now, get out. I never want to see you again.
Right.
Get the fuck out. Right?
Yeah, you would think.
But instead, they end up like, she says she's going to rehab and they're cuddling on the bed together. And I'm like, what the hell? I didn't make any sense to me at all.
No, it didn't make any sense either. So Tracy, she said that she had been gone for 2 days because she went to go to see her mom to think. And then she says she may have changed her mind about rehab. So then she kind of starts joking about it, like, do you think I can take Blazer to rehab with me? And then it was just odd that that somehow, like, you know, made them all sentimental and emotional. And you're right. Then they just start cuddling on the couch. And, you know, Tracy says, like, I'm scared. But it's like you had this whole thing, like super extreme highs and lows. And it's just like, wow, this segment like just took you all over the place.
Right. It was so weird.
Yeah.
It was, yeah, that one was all over the place.
Right. Okay. So that was the end of there. So it seems that Tracy is going to make her way to rehab, but, you know, we kind of see in real life.
We'll see.
Yeah. Things do not take a turn for the better. Although it does appear that Tracy is out and about and free. She did win some, I think like $15,000 at a casino a month or two ago. So, and she was flaunting it because I don't think she owes Clint any of it because they were separated or something. So, yeah. All right. Who do you want to talk about next?
All right. going with the fight theme, Michael, Sarah, Megan.
Oh, good. I feel like we can't even consider Megan anymore. She's like barely been in it. And I'm still surprised that they haven't given Maria a card yet.
I know. So, I mean, she was very involved today.
Right. And
very
according involved. To the show, like, we don't know anything about, we don't know Maria, like, where she's from, her age. It's like they just kind of threw her into the show. And like I said, I'm surprised that she doesn't have an intro card yet.
So this is a weird segment, I thought, this time, mm-hmm. because it's one of the few times that I would say everything would have gone a lot better if people just listened to Michael. Everybody should have just shut up and listened to Michael, and everything would have been fine.
We'll have to get into why you think that is, because I don't know. I thought Michael kind of went off the rails in his own weirdo way, too.
He did, but it was there were two – basically, it came down to this. Okay, so it comes – also, there were two requests that Michael made,
okay,
and nobody listened to either of them. And
well, one was not touching him. That came out a lot.
Yes, not touching him.
Yeah.
So that was the second one. We'll get to that one. The first one was, Maria, go back inside.
Oh,
Maria,
sure.
Just go back inside.
Yeah.
Go back inside, Maria. Just go back inside.
Yeah, that's true.
And like
true.
She would not go back inside.
No.
He was like, I will take care of this. We will sort it out. But go back inside.
Right.
And she just kept coming and kept coming. And then because it was the fight. We saw it start last time.
Yes.
And Michael actually – Michael's assessment of the situation matched mine, is that Sarah did not come to actually do anything about the kids. She used the kids as an excuse to come after Maria.
Right. No, I actually, for once, I don't think Michael is spot on all the time. I think he's a bit delusional and somewhat full of himself a lot of times, like thinking mm-hmm. that women are all falling over themselves for him. You know, making about him when it's really not. But I agreed with him this time. So Michael's yelling at Maria to go inside, and then he has his interview where Michael thinks that Sarah really only came to the hotel to check out Maria. So Maria's telling her that Sarah is never worried about her kids ever. And then Sarah wants to tell Maria that they had sex. So then here comes what the title of it, Who's Cheating on Who?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I might have sex with your boyfriend, but you're having sex with my husband. So, I don't know. It's stupid. Stupid. That's stupid.
Right.
Because as concerned with she is with the kids, where are the kids
yes.
right now when she's doing this?
Right. Oh, my goodness. I think we asked that last week, too, because we're like, are they uh-huh. in the back of the car? Are they at home with who? Who knows? So Maria says Sarah's acting like a fool, but it's like they both are.
You both are. Yeah. I'm not going to disagree with Maria that Sarah's acting like a fool, but Maria is also acting like a fool.
Right. So then Sarah kind of almost reminisces about, oh, remember Megan? I liked Megan. Yeah. It was like, oh my gosh, Maria must really be bad if Sarah was like, bring back Megan.
Yeah, I liked my husband's other side piece better. That yeah. was
yeah, Sarah, the reason why she prefers Megan over Maria is because she said she was actually able to talk to Megan. And it's like, were ya?
Were
ya? Because if you mm-hmm. saw the confrontation between them, yes, there was a time where they got to hear each other's side a little bit. But it definitely ended with them kind of yelling over each other and then her having to walk away. But the reason why she doesn't like dealing with Maria is because you can't reason with her, and Maria just wants to throw hands.
Yeah, it just and well, but Maria's just at this point, there becomes a point in many fights where people just start shouting nonsense.
Yeah,
and at this point, Maria was just shouting nonsense.
Oh, absolutely.
Didn't even make the words barely made sense put together. I mean, they were bleeped out a lot too, but you know what? Going back, because we're going to cover it. That's something I actually appreciate about Love is Blind, is that they can actually cuss.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true.
And so I would appreciate to actually hear the words coming out. That would be nice.
Yeah. It gives context for some things. Because sometimes right, you're kind right. of like, I think I know what you said, but I don't actually know. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, it's like I went somewhere and it reminded me of I went somewhere and there was in a bar or something. And they played like a Straight Outta Compton, but they played a edited version of Straight Outta Compton, which just sounded like gibberish. It didn't make like, because I know Straight Outta Compton. I listen to it a lot, right?
Oh, goodness. So I actually, I think when I was in college, 50 Cent CD came out, his first one, I think. And for some reason, I got the edited version of it. And so there was literally, I think, one song where you would hear one word and then just a big old pause and then another word and then a big old pause. And then I think I heard the actual album in my friend's car and I was kind of like,
and you were like,
this is it? Oh, there are a lot more words to this song.
Yeah, this one had like the words traded out, so it was like,
oh, that's even more weird.
It
just didn't make
any sense. It is, especially when I like all the words and I'm kind of like, you know, bopping along to it. It's like, this, nope, that wasn't the right. Why am I getting all the words wrong? I know the words to the song.
Yeah, so then Maria has to throw in some insults like Sarah and Michael are only married for convenience. And then Michael says that he's not going along with the theatrics. So Sarah, at this point, this is where it gets like Sarah's lost me. Sarah is almost making it like a me versus you. I'm going to make this situation where it's me versus you. So she's trying to get the kids on her side by saying to Michael, Michael, it's either me or the kids or her. You need to choose right now. And you choose by getting into my car at this moment. So Sarah's trying to get him in the car at all costs. And at this point, Michael gets into it with the hotel employee who's coming out to figure out what the disturbance is. So then,
that was so weird. Yeah. Like Michael was like, that's who he was like, everybody calm down. Maria, go inside. Everybody calm down. And the man, as soon as the manager said, hey, you guys are disturbing my guest, he just like
goes in.
Blows it.
Yeah.
He just all of a sudden like, don't you ever tell me what to do. You can't like that. Because it didn't even seem like the manager came that hard.
No, he was just like, oh, you're disturbing. What's going on here? Yeah. So then it makes sense that the hotel manager would be calling the police. And so now it becomes this frantic thing where they're trying to get the hell out of there before the police come. And so Sarah's like, the cops are coming, Michael. Get in the car. Get in the car. And Michael's just like, I don't know what's happening. You could tell it was the producer and Maria are trying to usher him away. And so physically usher him away.
Michael had one request. Don't touch me.
Yeah. Everybody.
And all they kept doing was touching him.
Yeah. Because they're trying to shepherd him.
Right. But it was like one of those things you just needed to listen to him for a damn second.
Yeah.
Like he was freaking out. And every time you touched him, it made it worse.
Right.
And you actually do have to stop touching him.
Yeah, so Sarah is trying to get him into her car, and Michael eventually goes along with the producer and Maria, and Maria has to turn around and say, bye, see you in court, boo-boo. It's like, oh, Maria, why? Why was that even necessary?
Yeah, well, yeah, Maria, both of them, though, both of them wanted to have the last word. Both of them are like,
want to feel like they won. Oh, it kind of goes back to that game that everybody's playing. Whoever slept with him last wins, right?
Right, exactly. So, yeah. So Maria's going to probably finish that tonight. So she has the, it's like tag. She's it.
Yeah. So Sarah says, you know, that they will never see, well, Maria will never see her kids ever.
Which we know is
not
true.
Not true, right, because of the Instagram picture. So it's like, but he felt Sarah is really upset, and she feels like she lost, you know, their little game with her and Maria. So,
well, at the end of the game just became whose car does he get in?
Yeah, like, pretty that much. Was... Yeah. So Sarah brings it back to the kids. And I agree, she did make it about the kids, and it just makes everything that she says seem less genuine.
Yep. Yep.
Everything.
Like the whole season up to this.
Yep, pretty much. Yeah, so she says she feels pain for her kids. She can handle her feelings. It was like, can ya?
Yeah, I don't think you can.
I don't know if you can. This has definitely proved that you can't.
She can't, but she offloads her feelings. She like projects her feelings onto her kids. So whatever she's feeling, she just says, well, it's the kids that are feeling that way. And it's like, no, I don't think it is.
I mean, I do think the kids are feeling that because we've seen it. But at the same time, if she was truly being a good mom, she would just stop. she would set guidelines for Michael to be in their lives. And if he couldn't meet them, cut it off. And yeah. I don't think she's willing to do that, because the idea of cutting him off from the kids means cutting him off from her life as well. And she's not mm-hmm. ready to do that.
No, no. She says that she is. She tries to put up a front that she is, but she's not.
Definitely not. All right. So we'll see about them. We still have John and Lacey and Tony and Angela.
Let's go with Lacey.
Okay.
So Lacey is driving around Tidewater, Virginia with with John. Like all over. They're going through the tunnels. They're going all over the place. I don't know where they're. There's like, I don't know if you have you ever been to like that area of Virginia Beach? Mm-mm. There's like four different like tunnels and bridges and stuff. It's mm-hmm. like all over the place. There's all these bridge tunnels. So I'm not surprised to see him go through a tunnel.
Yeah.
But regardless, she says that she hasn't had sex with John yet, and I don't believe her.
Yeah, I don't know if I believe her. I don't really care one way or the other.
No, I don't think it makes a big difference either way.
No, I don't think it does either. So they're planning a dinner date, and then, you know, she wants to break up with Shane before she sleeps with John, and it's like, mm-hmm. technicalities, you know. So right. she starts to text someone unknown, and John immediately is getting jealous, and so he tries to grab her phone, but then he plays it off like he's just messing around with her. But it's like, no, there was definitely something behind that, because she says, I was just texting my dad, they have the kids, like, calm yourself. So mm-hmm. then John starts getting mad, you know, and starts
I did not like Mad John. John was bad.
Mad John is scary, absolutely. And Lacey even says that. Lacey says that John mm-hmm. has a temper, and I can see her being scared of that, because it was a little scary. So John mm-hmm. says, but I mean, the thing is even though Mad John was scary, Mad John wasn't wrong. You know, a lot of things he said were valid. Like, he says that Lacey's trying to string both of them along. You know, why did you make bad decisions by meeting a prisoner online and then moving them in with the kids? What about the kids? Like, what are you doing? So these are all things he's saying to her, except not in a very nice way. He's definitely, like, got an aggressive tone to all of that.
True. Yeah. I guess I don't like – if he realizes that she's stringing them both along, mm-hmm. then it seems to me his move should be like, listen, when you dump him, I'll be right over here. Until then, bye. Like, instead of, like – constantly coming after, well, have you dumped him yet, why didn't you kick his ass out, you should kick his ass out, why have you done that yet, god, what's wrong with you, and like getting more and more aggressively mad. Like, he kind of started it hinting at it like a few episodes ago, and he just keeps being more and more aggressive about, like, you need to do this, you need to kick him out,
right? I actually, yes, I agree that's what he should do, but I do think it ends up being kind of a pissing contest between John and Shane, and they want mm-hmm. to win. And so you kind of have to be around to win. And I think part of you winning is being able to, like, shove it in the other person's face that they won. And so John does want to stick around to see that part.
There's no accident. He's there at the end. Like, I want to be there.
Yeah. To see your face. Yeah, that, you know, I've won. Like, this is mm-hmm. what's going down. So I definitely think there's some element of that coming into play, which is why he can't just separate himself. But I do think that this is part of what makes Lacey like John so much, as she said, he's always there. I know, mm-hmm. like, she probably meant it in a more, like, he's always there, like, supportive way. But I think it also means that he's always there. You know, like, she can't shake him. He will always be there.
So, okay. So this is the next time we see her, Lacey comes back to the house.
Yes.
And Shane is just sitting, smoking a cigarette, playing video games in the bed. Like, doesn't even turn his head to look at her or say hi or pause the game.
Right.
It's just like.
She walks in. Yeah. Completely ignores her.
Yeah. The stereotype of the. You know, not absent husband, but, you know, like, oblivious husband. of just like playing video games and pew pew pow pow pow.
I always think it's also borderline. This is like your 30-year-old like pothead son that's living in the basement. That's the kind of vibes I was getting.
Yeah, I give that too. But at least they're in the basement and not in your bed.
Right. Like,
if you're gonna have your video game set up, you should have it set up somewhere where they where your wife is not gonna have to look at you while she's like cleaning, doing the laundry.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there being do 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 do.
As you're hanging out with your gigantic pit stain.
Whoa, why did he change that shirt?
I don't know. Or wear some good deodorant. My God. Whatever you're using doesn't work.
I get it's Virginia, and if it's in the summertime, at some point there is no deodorant made that will contain that. So when you get home, if you're like that, don't you change and take a shower? Like, that seems like priority one, right?
I have no idea. So she says that seeing him makes her feel angry inside. You could definitely tell, like, she was mad. And I understand from his perspective, like, he thinks everything's fine, you know?
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden, she's, like, going crazy. So I get it that it appears a certain way because I don't think he's really – he's been oblivious to the signs that things are not okay. And it's like if he was just a little bit more aware –
Yeah, he has. Because to him, it's just like, oh, babe, how was your day? And she's like, get out.
And he's like, what? What happened? What's going on? And she's like just throwing stuff around and get out. And he was like, what? And he's just like completely dumbfounded. So he's not doing anything. And so she's like literally pulling out drawers, throwing clothes at like into this makeshift Tupperware thing for him to, you know, pack up all his stuff. You know, but it starts off with he's like, what's going on? He's like, she says, you're phony and you're fake.
I don't know about that. Like, there's much wrong with Shane.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's like emotionally complex enough to be fake. I just think you see what he is, what he is.
I mean, like, I think what she really means is that he's a liar.
Yeah.
But I don't know why she just can't call him liar. Yeah.
Right.
So the reason why she says he's a liar is because, you know, he cheated on her and pretty much kept it from her until, you know, a few days ago, it seems like. So, I mean, it's hard to tell how long they've been married, but it seems like at least a few months.
Right.
Long enough for John to get, you know, in jail and out of jail into like a rehab program. So it's like, not much time at least. So it's been at least a few months. So he's hid it from her for, let's say, minimum 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
So she's mad about that.
He cheated like right before the wedding.
Right.
That was right. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So he says, you know, this morning she seemed fine. Now she's aggravated. So she starts packing his stuff. He just sits there, you know, and quite honestly, it doesn't surprise me that he just sits there other than him. Like, I feel like the real reason why he's sitting there is because he's just dumbfounded. But we also saw his incredible lack of packing skills when they were first moving from the first house to the second house. So clearly packing is not his forte. So it's for the best that Lacey just kind of, you know, collects his stuff into a box.
Yeah.
Yeah, he collects his belongings because he's incapable of doing stuff like that.
He just has no idea what's going on.
No. Right?
That's what it comes down to. He's just like, what is – are you serious with this?
Right.
Because like, I also don't know how many times she might have said get out and like backed off of it too. You know? I don't know what their private conversations have been like. Like I would not be surprised if she's made empty threats of this sort before.
Right. So he says there's no coming back from this. And it's like I don't think he really believes that. I feel like if Lacey asked him back for him back at some point.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, he would be back. So, yeah, he says that things have been fine. You know, like I built that trampoline with your dad. We've been laying together. Like, it's fine.
We've been laying together? I didn't even say that. I know I said trampoline with dad.
I don't know.
But like, we've been laying together? That sounds so like clinical. Like,
well, because I
we have a bed that we lay next to each other in.
Yeah, but I think it's the point that they haven't been having sex, but they've still been sleeping in the same bed. You know, and so why would you sleep in the same bed? As I mean, I'm assuming they weren't even cuddling. Yeah, they're literally just sleeping in the same bed. So I think that's what he means.
That seems like an escalation to be like not even making him sleep on the couch to you're kicked out. Yeah. Get out. Like.
So then Lacey goes outside to get John. And this is where the big dog comes in.
Right. Or I think he calls himself the Big Daddy or something. He does it this time.
In the preview.
Yeah.
I thought he called himself the Big Dog. But yeah, it could be Big Daddy. It could be. Big something. Big John's coming. Yes. Big John's coming to help.
Yeah, but we don't get to actually see anything because they do the classic cutoff, right? Cut off the episode right when things are about to get interesting.
Right. Like, yeah.
What the fuck? I had no idea it was John.
Like, well, because, okay.
He cannot be that dense.
I think he can because I was going to say, I'm pretty sure that Shane has no clue that John is even out. Because remember, John, I mean, Shane thinks that things are cool because he thinks that John is still in prison. That's the whole reason why he chose this opportunity to even tell Lacey about the cheating to begin with, because he didn't think that John was out and about for her to have another option. So I absolutely think that Shane isn't playing dumb. Like, he's like, wait, I thought you were in prison. How are you here? And now he must really know, oh, man, I fucked up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, true. I guess that's true.
All right. Angela and Tony.
So I realized we saved. I just realized now we also did them last week. So
oh, we did we?
Somebody else this time. But, yeah, they were a lot of fun.
Yeah, this time, too. So, first of all, we start off with wedding planning with Rodney and Tansy, the overall twins. And I was like, what is happening here?
They have quite the interesting wedding they have planned.
Yes.
They're like
a beach candle and a Buddhist statue.
A Buddha statue and an arbor of some sort. I don't know what
I don't know what an arbor is. I thought it, the way they were talking about it, though, it sounded like, you know, one of those arches, like a gazebo arch.
But I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but he called it an arbor. Yeah, I had no idea what was going on anyway. And so Tony decides to bring up his best man. You know, when they're talking about where the bridal party is going to stand. And we're like, okay, well, the groomsmen will stand. Angela says, there are no groomsmen. Tony's like, oh, no, wait. I have a best man, Andre, who we met in prison. And
Angela has never met.
Who the hell is Andre? I've never even heard of this person. This guy is going to be my wedding. Who is this guy? So I appreciate that Angela is like, sidebar. Come over here. We're going to have a conversation.
Oh, man. Wait till we get to Andre.
Oh, my gosh.
Andre is not a person I would ever want to meet in real life.
Oh, gosh.
But on a TV show was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Like, Andre's the guy who's going to shank you. Like, it's, yeah. Yes. I would be concerned. So,
anyway.
Yeah.
They sidebar, right?
Yes, they sidebar. And then Tony says, you know, all my friends and family are far away. I just want this one person to be here to support me. And then Angela's like, he's not good. It's not good for you to hang around convicts. You know, what do you go to prison for? Oh, selling drugs? I don't want a drug dealer around my addict fiance. No.
Right. Absolutely not. That's what got you in trouble in the first place.
Right.
No.
So, yeah. Angela thinks he should marry Andre, and then Tony walks off. So, yeah. Tony asks for this one thing, and then Angela kind of gives in and says, all right, Andre could be your best man. But you are not to socialize with him before or after the wedding. So pretty much outside the wedding. He can basically be there at the wedding only.
He can stand here. That's it. Right.
Yeah.
Which is funny because Tony is like, yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm totally hanging out with Andre.
Right.
Like,
but he's just not telling Angela, of course.
Right. But he does, though. We know he does. Because of what happens. But because, okay, so I didn't know. Did we know that Tony was married when he was 16?
No, we didn't know that. So he says he's never had a bachelor party and that he's going to have it with Andre, even though he promised Angela that he will not socialize with Andre. So I don't know. I feel like his whole life is a bachelor party. Why is he so, like, intent on having this one bachelor party?
I don't know. I don't get bachelor parties in general, so I can't explain why this convict wants it. But it goes to the bachelor party and brings Andre, who, and it's so funny to hear Tony Savis in his deadpan, like, you know, mono face.
Yeah.
Really knows how to turn it up.
Yeah. Yep. He's like, Andre has to be there and he has to be in charge.
Right.
Oh my goodness. Oh,
so this is what I'm saying. So the other person that's at the bachelor party is Tommy.
Yes.
So Angela knows the bachelor party is happening.
Yeah.
Like there's, she sent Tommy to chaperone. Like, so right. She knows it's happening.
Right. But I don't know she knows that Andre is there. She knows they're having a bachelor party. She knows that Tommy is there. She must have some idea that it's at a strip club because, I mean, Tommy obviously probably told her that much before. But I think that Angela is probably thinking this is a look, not touch stripper experience.
Right, yeah.
You can watch the strippers from afar, but no afar. Individual attention.
Yeah, table service, no lap dance.
Yeah.
That's what she thinks.
Right.
Bottle service, right? That's what it's called? I don't know. I don't go to strip clubs. Bottle service?
Yeah, that's a club thing. Yeah, and they are at Club 34. That's what the strip club is called. So, yeah. So Tommy starts grilling Tony about his love for Angela. And
hold on. We skipped the introduction to Andre because Andre is a character.
Oh, gosh, in itself,
He's got gold teeth. I think he has face tattoos.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He says something. I'm going to go holler at these. Like, I had to turn on the, he said I'm going to go holler at something. So I turned on the closed caption to see what is he going to go holler at? And even the closed caption was like, I'm going to go holler at speaks indistinctly before he gets up and leaves. So,
oh man, he's trying to set up.
I would not mess with Andre.
Oh no,
for a second.
No,
I would mess with Andre for a second.
Yeah, Andre, he looks like he's been running with a rough crowd, living that thug life. Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say hardened criminal, but we get to Tommy and he's sitting there with Tony and Andre, and actually Andre is in between them, and he's asking Tony why he loves Angela. And so Tony says, Angela completes me. They're going to be together forever. And I'm like, that's not a reason.
It's not.
It's right up there with she's my soulmate. Like, that's not a reason to love someone.
It is, but Tommy doesn't deserve a reason because Tommy isn't actually curious about this.
No.
Tommy is just trying to find an in to get Tony to back out of the wedding.
Yes, that's true. Because Tommy thinks that Tony's running a hustle. And I thought it was very interesting that Tommy has predicted when they're going to get divorced. It's 2 years. What's your prediction here?
That's probably about right.
Yeah. I think so. I think they're going to hit a real rough patch in less than a year. And it's going to be one of those things where they're kind of separated but not actually filing for anything because Angela probably thinks that maybe it could still work out. And then it's going to be that situation where he's in the doghouse, you know, for a while. Yeah. So I think 2 years is pretty
eventually fair. Tommy just straight up says, like, about the wedding, where he's like, because Andre was like, what are you doing? Like, what are you trying to do with this wedding? And he was like, well, I'm trying to stop it. Like,
yeah, he's trying to postpone it for the sake of her happiness.
Yeah, but then Andre is like, listen, I'm the best man. And if you get in the way, you will get crushed.
Yeah.
And I believe Andre would crush him.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, plus, let's like be real here. Tommy basically looks like Jerry Springer. He's quite a bit older than Andre and Tony. Like, he does not seem in fighting shape to go up against either one of these guys.
Right. No, absolutely not. Absolutely. And you said it before, Andre is not, if they do get in a fight, he ain't fighting fair.
Oh, no, like, absolutely
he's
not.
Gonna he would shiv you. Like, that's,
he's definitely going to shank him. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. So then two stripper police come by to arrest Tony, and then they're trying to cuff him, and this is just so disgusting. They're like, oh, your wrists are really big. Does it match my dick? I was like, gross.
Wait, did he actually? I didn't think he said that. I think he implied that, like, it meant my dick is thick too.
Yes.
But, like, ew.
Yeah. Gross.
Especially if his strippers, they don't care.
No.
Like, the stripper does not care how big your dick is.
Yeah, that's like, not.
You're not going to have sex with a stripper anyway. And even if you would, like, the prostitutes don't care. Like, right. He's been with prostitutes that they're just working for a living. Like, they
don't. Yeah. So one of them takes Tony up into this. It's not even like a enclosed area. It's not a separate room. It's just kind of like this separate elevated area, which is like perfect for Tommy in filming a video of it. So the stripper doesn't get naked at all, but she is dancing up on him. And then I think what Angela is not going to be so thrilled with is that he is grabbing her ass. And it's kind of like going against that look but don't touch rule.
Isn't that, again, I'm not experienced with strip clubs, but isn't that usually the rule of the strip club?
Yes.
Is your hands stay down.
Like, right.
She can touch you. You can't touch her.
Yeah. But Tony was just like rubbing up and down her leg and ass. So I was just like, ah. So Tommy is filming this and he sends it to Angie. And Angela, she comes in.
Comes in hot. Like,
yep.
You're leaving now. Let's go. I'm not even sure I want to marry this dude anymore.
Yeah. Her voice sounded extra gravelly when she came in. Uh-huh. Like,
she
must have been like,
she was just sucking down cigarettes on the way.
Yeah, probably.
She probably smoked like 3 down to the nub in like a 10-minute drive. Just.
Okay. And through this, she blames Andre. And so it's just like, okay. Let's be real here. Yes, Andre probably did, you know, when he was going to go get holler at the cops strippers.
Right. Right. Yeah. He definitely hired the cop strippers. That's true.
Yeah. But it's like, Tony doesn't have to be involved. Tony doesn't have to grab ass.
Yeah. He could sit there awkwardly like everybody else getting a lap dance. He could do that.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't have to get involved.
So now Angela is thinking about not marrying this fool. And it's like, yeah, right. Angela, you're still marrying him. Yeah,
still marrying him. Totally still marrying him. Not buying it for a second.
Right. She has yet to make some very good life decisions here. So, yeah.
No, not at all.
Oh, goodness. So we didn't get too much of a preview for next week, did we?
No, it wasn't much. We know we're going to have the Lacey, John, Shane confrontation, we'll call it.
Yeah.
I honestly think Shane's probably gonna just walk away with his tail between his legs, and that'll be that. And that would be my prediction. We'll probably see the Angela Tony wedding. We should see Andrea and Lamar come up with some sort of,
I don't know. I think conclusion. They might be done, because I definitely feel like, oh, actually you're right, because we haven't found out what the vote is.
Right. We have to find the vote.
It's election day in the Lamar and Andrea household.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like we'll see Brittany and Marcelino have a kid.
I don't know. I don't know. Seems like there's a lot that could happen, or they might just leave a lot of threads loose for next season.
That's possible. All right. How about your student of the week?
Oh, I didn't want to do this because I feel like we give it to this person all the time, but everybody else was just absolute garbage. So Brittany.
Oh, yeah. I was actually going to say Brittany too.
Who else would you give it to? Like, everybody else has major, major flaws.
Yeah. I mean, but that's the situation on this show specifically.
On this show, of course.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, at least we have Brittany to give it to. And it's not like, well, everybody is terrible. Like,
right. But I think that Brittany has the ability to, like, self-reflect. She has the ability to communicate without anger kind of blinding that situation. I think she has the ability to kind of identify some past traumas, to kind of understand that it's like, separate the situation, you know, like the fact that Marcelino did this is, or lied to her, is like, you know, a trigger for her because she's had these past traumas as well. So I appreciate that definitely out of this group has the most self-awareness.
True. Yeah. That's true. That's true. All right. A much more interesting and wide variety of choices for class dunce. Who was your class dunce?
Sarah. Okay. And the reason why is because I started off this season really liking Sarah. I liked mm-hmm. that she was coming at everything from a place of interest from her kids. You know, she was kind of employing some counseling techniques to kind of, you know, cope with, you know, having an absentee dad in the picture for her kids. It just really seemed that she was trying to be strong for the kids without throwing Michael under the bus, you know, without making him seem as terrible as a dad as he is. But what she did in this episode and even the little bit of the last episode really completely negates all of that. It's kind of like her feelings for Michael are clouding her judgment. It makes you doubt, are you doing this for your kids or are you using them as an excuse to remain in his life? And so it's, I don't know, it just makes me doubt everything the way she behaved in this episode.
All right, so my dunce was Clint, just for that abortion comment alone.
Yeah, that was just
terrible.
Mean. Yeah, so mean.
So gross. I just and it kind of did that cuz that's the thing. It's come up in social media a lot, right? That Tracy's like, "Listen, the Clint you see on the show is not the real Clint."
Oh,
like,
I believe
you
that.
You all need to realize 100%. That. And this is definitely a window into that.
Right.
Into that.
Yeah, so life lesson?
All right, so my life lesson is a lesson for good old Tommy. and he needs to learn it if he's running around with people like Andre and Tony.
Oh, God.
And
that is,
snitches get stitches.
Yes, like, right? So true.
Like, they know how – they're going to know how Angela found out about that dance. And, like, he is putting his safety on the line.
Oh, he really is.
That. Like
– yeah, it's – yeah, watch your – back and every other part of you.
Exactly.
Because Andre is not above shanking you from the front either.
No. He will, yeah, he'll look you in the eye and take you down.
Oh, like, it's my gosh. Yeah, that's so true. So my life lesson is from Lacey and Shane. If you are harboring some kind of resentment, you can't just pretend that everything is okay. And then all of a sudden come down on the person like she did. You know, she needs to have been communicating this, like, her thoughts about this through the time. Because I absolutely understand where Shane is coming from. He thinks things are good. And so for him, it seems like she went from 0 to 100. And he's like, whoa, I'm getting kicked out. What the hell just happened? I have not done anything since things were okay. You know, so it's like, I don't understand. How could you be more mad at me now when I haven't done anything? If anything, I've been helping you out. I built that trampoline, you know. Right. So he thinks that he's been doing good things, but he doesn't realize that she has been just stewing in this anger the whole time. And so to her, and it's justified, like what she's upset for, I believe she is justified in it. But I feel like how she handled it, I understand why Shane is like taken aback and shocked that it's to him, it's escalated like this. So just communicate. Don't act like everything's okay when it's not.
And expect the other person to be able to read your mind and know that things really aren't okay, even though you're acting like they are. Like, can't do that either.
Right.
Communicate. I like it. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. So, this season's almost over, which...
Sounds like it, yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's good for us, because apparently people hate us.
I know. Ooh, yikes.
Yeah, our podcast reviews are not so good, which I have mixed feelings about. It's kind of like, you know, let's be real here. It's free content, you know?
Uh-huh.
And considering what's going on right now, like, I don't know, we're not asking you to pay for anything. It's free. So if you enjoyed enough, like, please give us a rating, you know, but if you don't enjoy it, you know, it's fine.
Yeah. Then don't listen to it. It's fine.
Yeah. We have one more episode. We're done. You don't have to listen to it. And then we'll move on to Love is Blind. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. So, Sounds good. We have a lot coming up soon. So, we'll see you next week then.
See everybody next week. All right.
Okay. Bye.